Blog Talk Radio.
How about clapping your hands for me tonight? Come on. Come on. Yep. The clothes you wear, you don't have to fret. Baby, don't despair, don't be concerned. If you lose it all, there is a reason. Reason for it all. Stay with me, don't you worry. Be still too. Be still. Keep the peace inside. Trouble may come. Cast your care on. When you're all alone, he'll take it one, two, he's on. Don't be discouraged. Baby, have no fear. He'll never leave you. He will always be there. Say, don't you worry. Be still too. Can you sing it for me? Come on. Don't you worry. Keep the peace here. Say, don't you worry. Don't you worry about me.
God bless you. Welcome to Victory Against All Odds. I am your host today, Prophetess Donnie Benson. Thank you for tuning in. You're tuning in to Victory Against All Odds. Today is the 20th day of May 2019. And we praise God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and I do mean rejoice, be happy, glad in it. Today is the 20th day of the fifth month in the year 2019. 20 represents our expectancy. What is it that you are expecting on this year? Not just today, but this, not just this month, but this year. What is it that you are expecting? Think about that. What is it that you're waiting for? 20 represents waiting. It represents accountability. Who is it that you are accountable to? Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you able to take correction? Are you able to take advice? Are you able to hear from those who have wise counsel? It represents responsibility. Are you responsible? And as we talk about Mental Health Awareness Month, we need to talk about responsibility and making sure that we take note of our mental health state. And it also represents service. What is it that you're doing? Are you serving others? Are you doing all that you can, not just because you want to be seen, but serving others gives us fulfillment. And serving others definitely balances out our mental health. So once again, thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time, Victory Against All Odds is a radio broadcast where the mission is to encourage people to become empowered with strategic tools to overcome abuse, rejection, fear, abandonment, and oppression. Again, thank you for taking time out to join me on this evening, for truly today is the Lord's, and we're glad and we're rejoicing in it. No matter what it looks like, we still give God glory in all things because we know that he has made a way of escape for us, and he doesn't put any more on us than we are able to handle, praise God. So, when we were last on the air, which was May the 6th, we talked about and introduced Mental Health Health Awareness Month. I do apologize. I had a family emergency and was not able to come on last week, but we are here now and wanted to continue our talk about mental health. So I'll just do a little review and then we'll continue. So we talked about, we asked the question, what is mental health? Mental health, as we defined it, includes our emotional, our psychological, and our social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, and act. It also helps determine how we handle stress, how we relate to others, and how we make choices. Mental health is important at every stage of life, from our childhood, our adolescence, and especially in our adulthood. So we talked about mental illness, referring to this wide range, this wide continuum of mental health conditions. And of course, we are not able to talk about all of them, but I wanted to at least talk about a few of them. So mental health conditions or disorders, if you want to call it that, or sometimes it is referred to, affects your mood. It affects our thinking and it affects our behavior. Some examples of mental illness is depression, which is what we're going to talk about today. It's anxiety on another level. It's a schizophrenia, eating disorders, addictive disorders, and so forth and so on. And like I said, we're not going to be able to talk about all of it, but we can talk about some of it because mental health occurs from time to time in everyone's life. And so we wanted to just tap into a few things that we felt mental health could affect. So today I wanted to talk about mental illness in relation to depression. So depressive disorders affect nearly 7% of American adults, and that's defined as having major depressive disorders or episodes. And that equals to about 15.6 7 million people in the United States. It's real. It involves extended periods of feeling extremely low and disrupt a person's ability to enjoy life. It affects our body. It affects our thoughts. It affects our behaviors, as I have mentioned before. And that could be causing you to have headaches, changes in your appetite, weight gain, weight loss, body aches, a weakened immune system, and, of course, sleeping disorders. Usually it's too much sleep or not enough sleep. It affects our thoughts, feeling of being inadequate, like you're not good enough, or extremely sad, feeling of guilt, or being intimidated, or lonely. If you've ever know someone that has feelings of being empty or a pessimistic attitude, being negative about everything. Have you ever met someone who, you know, everything that they say is negative, it's doom and gloom, preoccupied with death or feelings of suicide, which we talked about when we were last on the air, and unable to focus. It affects our behavior. So you withdraw from your social activities, you decrease your interest in all kinds of things, from being around family and doing extracurricular activities, or if you exercise, if you're married, it affects your married life. It affects the way you, we always talk about being a finisher. So you end up not finishing things, that things are incomplete. Incomplete task and keeping up with your daily responsibilities. You seem to kind of slack off on the things that you are used to doing, and people begin to notice a slight change of behavior. You're not as punctual as you used to be. You're slowful and things of that nature. Some of the most common types of depressive disorders can range anywhere from major depression to postpartum and everything in between. So that would be premenstrual. Some of the symptoms that they do when they're premenstrual is they begin to have like low self-esteem or a feelings of depression. Postpartum is a serious one that I can relate to. I went into a postpartum depression after delivering my son. So those are some of the types of depressive disorders. And so there, as you can see, there's a range in what might be one person's battle with depression may not necessarily look like that for another. And so, you know, we have to be cognizant and we need to be able to pay attention and distinguish what is and what isn't. So let's talk about what depression is not. Before we begin to kind of go and break down some of the myths of depression. We talked about mental illness having a stigma. Depression can also be a stigma. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, people will try to hide their depression and put on a mask. And so they have this non-genuine smile, I'll say it that way, or they, you know, they try not to engage in a lot of company, social, you know, social activities and things like that. Or if they do, you know, they're just kind of going through the motions. And so there may be a smile on the outside, but inside they're feeling so much different than that smile represents. So what having depression is not, first of all, it is not just being sad about a bad situation. We all have bumps in the roads or things don't quite go the way that we want to, or we have our day planned and it gets interrupted. And so we may be feeling a certain kind of way. So depression is not feeling sad about a bad situation. It is not grieving the loss of a loved one But I will say it could lead to depression if you linger there. But just grieving the loss of a loved one is not a state of depression. Grieving has its purpose. It has its timing. It is not all in a person's head. Sometimes if we're not sensitive to the spirit of depression, you may kind of overlook the seriousness of depression and think that, oh, this person is just, you know, it's just all in their head, and you don't take them seriously, which can lead to other things, and we'll talk about that. Depression is not overreacting or being overly emotional. So you have met people, and maybe you may have experienced this yourself, where you just kind of go way to the left about something that may not necessarily required all that emotion, or overreacting to some of the simpler things. If you've ever run into a person that, you know, is just, you know, a 10, as we say, sometimes they're a 10. That is not what depressive disorder is about. It is not something that everybody experiences. There are people who have never experienced depression on the level that we are talking about. Now, they may be sad, may have lost a loved one, like we spoken earlier, but they've not experienced what we call a major depressive episode. How about that? It is not something that a person just gets over. When you are having a major depressive disorder, it's a very serious thing, and it does require not only treatment, you know, and those of us who are believers, it requires prayer. It is not a pity party. Sometimes, you know, we have experienced and we'll tell someone or have met someone and have talked to someone who are, they're just, you know, they call you, they're having a pity party. And depending on where you are, you may either join that pity party or you'll pull them out of that pity party or you'll tell them to snap out of it or whatever the conversation needs to be. But what it is not a depressive disorder. They're just having a moment, having a bad situation and feeling. It is not being stuck in a rut. Sometimes life will kind of cause us to get into this cycle where it seems like there's just absolutely nothing going right. That is not a depressive disorder, but it may be it may be a consequence for making wrong decisions, which we did talk about earlier. But making wrong decisions may not necessarily be attached to being depressed. It may be just that the person doesn't know how to make good decisions because no one has, they don't have the leadership. Remember, we talked about 20 representing accountability. So maybe this person never had accountability in their life, and perhaps they may be in a place where they just do not answer to authority, okay? That's just being real and being honest. And so they're just stuck in this rut because just one thing just leads to another. They lost their job. They lost their car. They've lost their children. They just can't seem to land a job, or they just can't catch a break, and they've kind of gotten caught up in this cycle. However, if they stay in that rut for an extended period of time, and it just seems like, you know, years have passed, doesn't mean that it can't lead to being depressed. But just a moment of just being in a cycle of just nothing going right doesn't necessarily mean that the person is not depressed, or is depressed, I should say it that way. It doesn't represent or doesn't mean that laziness. So just because a person is lazy has nothing to do with mental illness or mental depression or anything. It just means exactly what it is. That just means that they're lazy, and we're going to leave that right where it is. It doesn't mean, we talked about making choices, but just because a person makes a wrong choice doesn't mean or is not related to the spirit of depression. So those are some of the things that that depression is not. What does depression sound like? It can sound like a whole lot of things. Usually, their conversation is really, really negative in that they may say something that they're feeling hopeless, or they may feel like their life doesn't matter or people don't care. They may feel exhausted and feel like they're living in a cage. Those are some of the feelings that a person who is battling with chronic depression or have a depressive disorder may feel like. But what they would say is what really is clue that this person or persons or yourself even is going through a spirit of depression. And so you just kind of have to gauge the conversation. And don't be afraid. Now, this is where I empower you. Don't be afraid to just come out and act. It's kind of like when we are dealing with the spirit of suicide, which is also attached to mental illness. Don't be afraid of just come out and asking. One of the things that we do in training when we're talking about suicide is we ask the person, are you suicidal? And that may shock them and catch them off guard, but you need to ask the question so that you can make the next step and you can make it quickly. So let's talk about since I just said that, let's talk about tackling depression. So you got to figure out what types of things lift their spirit. Figure out how they started to feel down. In other words, what was the event? So let me say this. So depression is the manifestation of a deeper root. So in order to conquer depression, you've got to figure out what the root cause is. So depression by itself is just a manifestation. But what caused the depression? So that's where the conversation, that's why I said you can't be afraid to ask the question whether this person is depressed or not. Because if you find something and you're able to tap into something that really kind of makes that person feel good, then you change. Remember we talked about last 2 weeks ago, the body chemistry. So it gets their bodies feeling good. It gets that chemistry flowing. Even taking a brisk walk. Remember I said one of the things that helps depression is exercise. So get that person moving, because people who deal with mental or chronic depression, one of the signs is being alone, being shut up in the house, being up under the covers, you know, having the shades on and being withdrawn and being lonely, because that's what the enemy does. He wants to cut us off from the norm. So if you can get that person out of the house and get them walking and get them moving, get their chemistry flowing, that's one of just one way to tackle depression. You can, of course, one of the obvious things is that they need to call and make an appointment to see a therapist and have conversations. But you know, the person may not be there because they may not decide. They may not be in a place where they've acknowledged that they are depressed. So you also have to deal with denial. So if you recognize that the person is depressed, then you pray and you ask, what is it that I need to do to assist so we can get to the place where we're able to pick up the phone and get help? Talk to somebody. If you're experiencing depression, then you need to gauge who is it that you feel like you can trust and ask them to talk to you or sit down with you, being non-judgmental, and so that you can open up and talk about that, quote-unquote, that thing that got you to your state of depression. So if it's because you're feeling inadequate, you feel like you can't catch a break, and it's been a long time, maybe you were abused or assaulted, or maybe it was a major breakup, or maybe your marriage is not going just right and you're trying to keep up that faith, or maybe it's your children. Maybe you're dealing with wayward children, or maybe, you know, it's something going on with your job, or maybe it's a relationship, and that relationship doesn't necessarily mean an intimate relationship, but a relationship nonetheless, whether it be on the job, in the church, in the family, that maybe it be parents or siblings or whatever, that relationship that you define, talking about it and challenging those negative thoughts about the situation, or challenging the negative thoughts about yourself because you're having some woes in your life. Being depressed makes you feel like something that you've done and that it was horrible, right? So maybe, or that you're ugly, or that you didn't deserve any good thing because you experienced bad all your life. So just having that conversation, someone that you know that really loves you, that won't judge you, that those that know how to make you feel your worth, it also helps. So in the last few minutes that I have, 18 minutes left, let's talk about facts about mental illness and depression in particular. Let's talk about breaking down the myths about depression. These are some of the records and the stories that a person tells themselves when they're not really ready to deal with depression head on. So they may say depression doesn't affect me, or you may have heard people, you know, make these types of statements. So the myth is depression doesn't affect me, right? But according to the 2004 survey by the American College Health Association, I stated nearly half of all college students report feeling so depressed at some point in time that they had trouble functioning, going to class, passing their tests, and, you know, their daily college life. And about 50% met the criteria for clinical depression. So this means that someone in your life that you care about, or maybe yourself, like I said before, could face depression at some point in time in your adulthood, or we talked about your childhood and adolescence. So some of the tools that I'm giving you may not necessarily be for you or a friend, but it could be a child. If you're in the school system, these are some of the things that we have to pay attention to. A child who doesn't give eye contact, is always kind of looking down and sad countenance day in and day out. They need to have a conversation, and maybe that is you. And so these are some tools that I'm equipping you with to deal with depression. So another myth about depression is that it is not a real medical problem. You know how some people talk about, for example, fibromyalgia is not a medical problem. Well, in fact, it is. And so sometimes they say depression is not a real medical problem. Well, the fact is, depression is a real and serious medical condition. It's no different than diabetes or heart disease. It impacts your life. It has both emotional and physical symptoms, and it makes life very, very difficult. Now, last we spoke, I did share my story about depression. And if this is your first time hearing it, then I'll repeat what I've said, that I am victorious over the spirit of depression. Went through some very serious things early in life, from being molested to child abuse, physical, emotional abuse, and suffered depression for a long time, and was able to get to the place where some of the things that we've talked about in already wearing that mask and being able to smile and covering it up and really suffering. But at the same time, my life was impacted. I did everything I could to avoid social interactions when I could. Was depressed when I was in college, but I went to class. I was, you know, one of those people who believed in trying to overcome the obvious because I was in denial. And so I had to press through and go extra to function and stay as normal as I could. But then later in life, after adulthood, after marriage, after children, I went into another depression, and it was really bad. So at this point in time in my life, I couldn't do any of those things that I just mentioned. I couldn't fake it. I was in the house. I was closed in. I pulled the curtains. I didn't go to the mailbox. I didn't wash. I didn't take care of my children. I didn't do a whole lot of things. And I wanted to die. I studied the ways in which I could commit suicide. The battle was whether it was going to be with children or without. And would try to plan ways to make it look like an accident because I was in a state of hopelessness. There was just absolutely nothing anybody could do, you know, and I wasn't strong enough to look to the hills which comes my help, knowing that all my help came from the Lord, because at that point I had already cried out. I didn't see any answers. I didn't hear any answers. I didn't see no results. I didn't see the light of day in that part of my life. So I wanted to just check out. But thanks be to God that causes us to triumph. And I was able to get to a place where the ministry of songs and worship and praise, because I wasn't strong enough to cry out to God, but because of praise and worship and music, it was able to minister to that dark place. And that's what brought me out. The more I just stayed before God and laid out and cried and cried and cried again, the stronger I got and be able to release those hurts that I had not forgiven or had not dealt with. So I couldn't even begin to forgive until I dealt with what was really going on and what had happened to me and things of that nature, so that I could have a sound mind and take care of my children and get up in the morning and things of that nature. So I praise God because I can stand today in 2019 and say that was then and this is now. So I don't deal with the spirit of depression anymore, but I'm able to give back because I'm no longer ashamed to tell that testimony, not only about mental illness and being depressed and the spirit of suicide, but also being abused and being molested and all the things and trying to medicate my pain with prescription drugs and all of that. So I am a living testimony that you can overcome the spirit of depression. It was nothing that you could snap out of. I mean, thinking positive wasn't going to do it. That is a myth. And so the fact is, we didn't choose to be depressed. It's not a choice. It's nothing that you just snap out of. You know, it had nothing to do with me being lazy. It had nothing to do with me being weak. It's a health condition. And and if you're not careful, it changes the brain structure, and it can change your health as well because you're not taking care of yourself. Now, some people when they're depressed, they eat a lot. I'm the opposite. Some people manifest outwardly. I manifest inwardly. I get quiet. I stop talking and I stop eating, and so I was losing weight, you know. And so again, what depression looks like for one person doesn't necessarily mean that depression looks like that for another. So this is why it's important for us to talk about mental health so that you are able to recognize it no matter where you are, what setting you're in, what place you're in, whether it's adult, child, adolescent, we are equipped to be able to at least recognize it. Now, you may not be equipped to counsel, and that's okay, but that's why you have resources. Those who are trained to deal with it, you can pick up the phone, but at least get them to a place where they can talk about it or ask the question, are you depressed? Are you suicidal? Okay, so depression only happens when something bad happens in your life, such as a breakup, the death of a loved one, or failing an exam. Well, that's a myth. It's more than just those things. It's more than just sad thoughts. Everybody experiences highs and lows in their life, right? And so everybody experiences disappointment, right? Everybody have a moment where there's a specific negative event in their life, but they're able to bounce back. And bouncing back just means that you had your moment, you had your event, you had a loss, you had a breakup, you failed a test. But, you know, you recognize that that was just that moment, and that doesn't dictate a prolonged feeling of being hopeless or sad or that that's the end of the world or you're a nobody or things like that. So everybody has highs and lows. The difference is for an extended period of time, it just seems to drag on and you can't bounce back. So another myth is depression will go away on its own. For some people, it probably could. But for the most part, people need treatment, need prayer, need to be around people that speak life. So without treatment, and treatment could be, being around the right people, treatment could be counseling or therapy. Treatment could be counseling, therapy, and medication. And just because you're on medication doesn't mean that's a lifetime. It means that just for that moment in time, you need a little extra help, along with prayer and supplication. Depression can lead to suicide, which is the third leading cause of death for people between the ages of 18 and 24 years old, reinforcing the importance of seeking treatment. The good news is that most people do get better with treatment. Another myth is antidepressants will change your personality. So taking the right antidepressant does change your brain chemistry, and that can be scary. But it's designed only for certain chemical outlines or underlines for symptoms of depression. So remember, I talked about the different types of depression. So depending on what that is, what that's manifesting, determines the type of medications or antidepressants that one might receive. Now, is it impossible for you to get better without medications? Absolutely. I did have an antidepressant for a little while. I'm not ashamed to say that. And I did get better. But I needed that extra edge to get me over the hump, if you will, because I was on a suicide path. Some people don't make it that far and need, you know, medication. But if you do need medication, do not be ashamed to go there. And like I said, it's not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. And so medication and antidepressants are effective when taken correctly and under supervision. That is key. I got 5 minutes left, so my last one is myth is talking about depression only makes it worse. No, So the fact is, being alone with your thoughts is even more harmful when facing the disorder. That is what happens. Being alone and being isolated and listening to those voices that continue to repeat those negative records, that's what makes it worse. It's when you get around people who are healthy and who are able to speak life, and if you're going to a therapist or someone who really loves you in there and you feel like they're nagging you, when you begin to talk about your situation, because remember, depression is a manifestation of a deeper root. When you can talk about what that struggle is, when you can talk about what that thing that got you there, and you can find that one person or persons that is not only a good listener but a good support. And most importantly, they're not judgmental. Listening, they can talk with you, get you to a place where you can seek help. And so that person can be your spiritual leader. I always, that's good. I want to go to my spiritual leader. I want prayer. I want to talk about it. You know, and like I said, there's no harm in addition to that. There's no harm in talking to your spiritual leader, having prayer. But for some people, that's not enough. Because if the spiritual leader is not equipped for such things, hopefully they're honest enough to say, we can pray and we can talk about it, but in addition to that, we need to seek additional help. And so if you're at any point you feel overwhelmed by feeling of sadness and hopeless and that you are considering hurting yourself, I want you to call somebody and talk to somebody. Talk to your spiritual leader, that friend. Call me, inbox me, or you can call the 1-800 number. That 1-800 number is 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. Those are some of the resources. So if you feel like you don't feel like you can talk to anybody, or you're just in that place where you're just not trusting anyone, then pick up the phone and ask for help. And call the helpline. And someone will be able to assist you and help you get better. You are no longer depressed. I thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. Again, I am your host, Prophetess Denton. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope that something that I've said will help you be equipped in dealing with mental illness, because we all have had hard challenges in our life, but we want everyone who is listening to understand that we do not have to hide our pain. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance, whether it's mental depression or whether it's anxiety or whether it's any other type of mental illness or whether it is abuse of any kind. Against all odds, you can walk in victory on today. You can overcome any odds, any obstacle that tries to block you and keep you bound. You do not have to be bound any longer. So I am here to help you walk in total victory. Tune in again. Thank you for tuning in. And together we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat those seemingly insurmountable obstacles in life that bring us down. Amen. And that you can be strengthened. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you.
Hallelujah. We feel this house.
We feel this house with worship.
We fill this house with
we
worship.
We fill this house with praise. Oh, my God,
there is your spirit.
Your spirit.